Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Embedded Autonomy States and Industrial Transformation by Peter B. Evans is a landmark work in comparative political economy and development studies that examines how states can shape industrial change. Rather than asking whether government intervention is simply good or bad, Evans focuses on why some states manage to promote industrial upgrading while others produce waste. Corruption, or stagnation. The book is best known for the concept of embedded autonomy, a capable bureaucracy that has enough internal coherence and professionalism to pursue collective goals, yet is also embedded in dense ties with social and economic actors that provide information and implementation capacity. Evans develops the argument through comparative institutional analysis and detailed discussion of industrial policy experiences, with particular attention to high technology and the rise of national computer-related industries in Brazil, India, and South Korea during the 1970s and 1980s. The result is a framework that brings the state back into analysis without romanticizing it or ignoring the risks of capture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, embedded autonomy as a theory of state capacity. Evans' core contribution is the claim that effective developmental intervention depends on a specific institutional balance rather than on the sheer size of the public sector. Autonomy refers to a bureaucracy that is cohesive, rule-bound, and oriented toward public objectives, with internal norms that limit opportunism and enable long-term strategies. Embeddedness refers to structured connections between state agencies and private actors that generate information, coordination, and credibility. Evans argues that without autonomy, close ties become patronage and capture. Without embeddedness, autonomy becomes insulation, producing policies that are detached from technological and market realities. The embedded autonomy framework, therefore, rejects two common simplifications that markets alone are sufficient and that state intervention is automatically developmental. It also highlights why organizational design matters, including recruitment, career incentives, and the ability to act collectively across agencies. The concept is useful because it can explain both success and failure within the same broad category of interventionist states. And it directs attention to the concrete institutional mechanisms that make collaboration productive rather than predatory. Secondly, a comparative institutional approach beyond developmental versus predatory labels. A major theme of the book is that real-world states rarely fit cleanly into ideal types. Evans challenges the tendency to treat countries as either developmental or predatory by showing that state roles shift across sectors, time periods, and organizational settings. Instead of assuming that intervention will either solve coordination problems or create rent-seeking, he analyzes the institutional conditions under which each outcome is more likely. This comparative approach focuses on how bureaucratic structures, policy instruments, and relationships with firms shape performance. It allows readers to see that similar policy tools can yield different results depending on administrative capacity and the nature of state-society ties. It also encourages attention to intermediate and mixed configurations in which some agencies are competent while others are politicized, or where effective collaboration in one industry coexists with failures elsewhere. By emphasizing comparative institutional variation, Evans provides a vocabulary for analyzing states as heterogeneous organizations rather than single actors, which is crucial for understanding industrial transformation in late industrializing economies. Thirdly, roles of the state custodian, demiurge, midwifery, and husbandry. Evans organizes state involvement in the economy into distinct roles that clarify the different ways governments influence industrial outcomes. The custodian role highlights regulation and oversight, including setting rules and policing compliance. The demiurge role captures direct production through state-owned enterprises and public sector initiative in building capabilities. Midwifery describes the state helping new private firms and sectors emerge, often by coordinating investment, providing targeted support, or shaping incentives for entry. Husbandry emphasizes nurturing and upgrading existing firms and industries through ongoing collaboration, performance monitoring, and support for learning. This typology matters because debates over industrial policy often collapse these roles into a single question of intervention versus non-intervention. Evans shows that each role places different demands on bureaucratic capacity and on relationships with business, and each carries different risks of inefficiency and capture. The framework also helps explain why successful industrial transformation often involves a combination of roles, adjusted to sectoral conditions and to the state's administrative strengths. Fourthly, high technology and the politics of building computer industries. The book uses the emergence of computer-related industries in Brazil, India, and South Korea as an empirically grounded lens for evaluating theories of industrial policy. High-technology sectors are especially demanding because they require rapid learning, coordination across firms and suppliers, and engagement with global standards and competition. Evans examines how state agencies, domestic entrepreneurs, and transnational corporations interacted in these settings and how those interactions shaped industrial trajectories. The cases illustrate that protecting a sector or creating local champions is not enough. Outcomes depend on whether states can discipline support, foster upgrading, and maintain information-rich ties to producers while still enforcing performance expectations. They also show that relationships with foreign firms and the international economy cannot be reduced to dependence or openness alone. Instead, the key question is how states manage integration into global markets and technology flows while building domestic capabilities. The focus on informatics provides concrete evidence for the broader claim that institutional quality and state-business relations drive the difference between industrial deepening and stalled protectionism. Lastly, limits, global constraints, and avoiding capture, Evans stresses that successful state action is not a matter of omniscient planning. Developmental effectiveness requires an understanding of limits. The state must recognize what it can coordinate, what it cannot control, and where markets and international forces set binding constraints. A realistic relationship to the global economy is part of this argument. Because late industrializers must navigate foreign capital, multinational firms, trade pressures, and technology dependence, embedded autonomy is presented as a way to handle these constraints while reducing the danger that close state firm ties degenerate into favoritism. The book highlights the tension between needing cooperation with private actors and needing protection from narrow interests. The solution is not isolation from business, but institutional arrangements that make ties transparent, information-rich, and compatible with enforcement. This theme remains influential because it reframes governance debates. The question is how to build bureaucracies that can engage productively with capital without becoming its instrument, and how to design interventions that encourage learning and competitiveness rather than permanent rents. In conclusion, embedded autonomy should be read by students and scholars of sociology, political science, development studies, and public policy, as well as practitioners who work on industrial strategy, state capacity, and governance reform. Its main benefit is intellectual clarity. It replaces abstract arguments over state versus market with an institutional framework that explains why some interventions produce upgrading while others fuel capture or inefficiency. Readers gain a practical way to diagnose policy environments by looking at bureaucratic organization, the structure of state-business relations, and the fit between policy roles and administrative capability. The book also offers a disciplined way to think about globalization, showing that international integration is neither a simple threat nor a guaranteed solution, but a context that states must manage strategically. Compared with many works that either celebrate East Asian developmentalism or condemn intervention as rent-seeking, Evans stands out for balancing theory with grounded comparison and for treating the state as a complex set of organizations rather than a single actor. The idea of embedded autonomy remains influential because it is portable across cases and sectors, providing a durable lens for analyzing how institutions shape industrial transformation. If you would like to support Peter B. Evans, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.